about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
People, black people, poor people, black people, black people. This is James Brown, Soul Brother number one. I want to say, what is going down?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I just noticed something that in one of your interviews with John Candy, I believe, it looked like an older interview, you had less hair than you have today. How do you explain that?
I don't wear a wig, sir.
Paint your bald spot?
What bald spot?
You paint your bald spot?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. My hair grows.
You paint your bald spot.
I don't have a bald spot.
How come you had less hair on the tape?
Maybe my hair grew. Maybe I had a bad haircut that day.
You paint...
By the way, something. What do you care?
Paint your bald spot?
I don't. Do you paint your bald spot?
Paint your bald spot?
You're sick.
And now...
First of all, let me tell you this. I'm impotent. I can't have sex.
Our feature presentation.
I love that caller so much. Paint your bald spot.
Poor Larry. By the way, Larry, for a guy who's 150, has a great head of hair.
He does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he paints his bald spot. That's what I just heard.
I heard that, too.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 30th of July.
30th? Hey, I've got a thing that I want to talk about before we get into today's All New Kevin and Bean Show. But I heard three words out of little Chip's mouth a minute ago. And I don't know if you were in the room yet or not, Kevin. So I think it bears revisiting.
Okay.
And those three words were deep fried pizza.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Step up, my dear.
Best food ever.
Chip was at the fair, right? Playing with your band?
Yep.
Oh, deep fried pizza.
Now, is that a new thing? I know the Orange County Fair is often the leader in how to screw with otherwise perfectly fine foods. But is this new this year?
It's the first time I've seen it. Mm-hmm. It may have been around, but this is the first time any of me and my friends tried it.
And what's it like? I know that's a tough question to ask when you're describing what something tastes like, but how is it different from a regular piece
question,
of pizza?
Bean.
It's pretty much like pizza.
It's pizza, but
fried,
good.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what else you want to talk about pizza on the radio, Bean.
Is it like thick batter? Is it light batter?
No, light batter. Yeah, it's just like a light, just like coating around the pizza and just throw in the fryer and hey, here you go. Have pizza.
Now,
it's
now
awesome.
Does it ruin regular pizza for you now that you had deep fried?
No, because all pizza is awesome, obviously.
Obviously.
Okay,
sorry, I didn't mean to offend. I just thought maybe
they deep fry like everything. Good. If you're walking in front of them, they'll deep fry you.
Yeah.
You got to really watch yourself at the fair.
All right, well, that's cool. That's a tip. The fair is still going on, so if you want to try the deep fried pizza to go with your deep fried Oreos and everything else they have down there, you can do that. Here's the thing I wanted to talk about, Kevin, and I figured I'd this is me going in and getting the belt for Dad to beat me with because you have for many years you have complained that baseball players are wimps.
Yeah.
And where's that coming from again for maybe people who haven't heard you disparage the great sport of baseball?
First of all, they rarely play. I mean, there's like 2 minutes of action in an entire game. Other than that, they're just standing around. They're sitting. They have to get up and warm up every inning, every top of and bottom of every inning. It's a nonsensical sport.
But
they
play in extreme weather conditions.
Oh, we got to cover the field quickly, everybody. It's sprinkling.
I don't know why that's the voice, but
first of all, they're tremendous athletes, and it's a grueling season.
Bean, let me just stop you right there.
Yes.
Some of them are tremendous athletes. Some of them are just fat. Let's be honest.
Well, like in any sport, there are always going to be some players who are more in shape than others and more athletically inclined than others. But on the whole, I think the average Major League Baseball player is an athlete who's in pretty tremendous shape.
Not compared to any other sport.
Bowling.
Is that a sport?
No.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because you were going to find out about it at some point anyway, but last night there was crying in baseball, and there's a player on the field during a game bawling his eyes out, Kevin. And I imagine you've never seen that in hockey.
No.
But his reason, he's a shortstop for the New York Mets. His name is Wilmer Flores. Ali, I know he broke your little heart last night.
He did.
Why?
He's playing during the game, and
it's like his mom passed away or something.
No, no. The baseball trade deadline is tomorrow, so lots of deals are being made. Lots of players are being dealt, and lots of players are being swapped teams.
Right.
And he got word from fans in the stands who had been following trade rumors online that he had been traded to the Brewers, and they said, "Hey, Wilmer, you got traded, dude." And he's still in the game. And he's out at shortstop just wiping his eyes and just crying and just looking like the saddest little fella you've ever seen.
Why was he crying?
Because he got traded.
Well, I know, but a lot of people
get traded. To Milwaukee from New York.
Yeah, that sucks. But that happens to a lot of players. They don't cry.
Well, they don't find out in the middle of a game and have to go out to shortstop and still play. The camera would not leave his face. It was
I wouldn't either. If I was directing that, I would say, get the guy crying.
It was horrible.
And a lot of people were suggesting that it was very cruel the way it was covered on the Yankees broadcast. That, not the Yankees broadcast, whatever the Mets broadcast team is, and they just would not get the camera out of his face. But he's just out there, and he's aware of it at some point. I'm certain.
But you understand that it's because other people get the same news and don't cry.
But again, as Ellie pointed out,
I bet they do cry, but they're just in the privacy of their own home. They're in their cars.
Or the locker room. Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually, if you get traded, you get pulled out of the game. So this was unusual that he was still out there after the trade. Well, as it turned out, the reports were premature, and he was not, in fact, traded.
You're horrible, Kevin.
The manager for the Mets told reporters afterward that it looked like social media got out ahead of the facts. There would be no such trade. Apparently, the deal fell apart in the final stages, which is why the player was left in the game, even though ordinarily you would be pulled after the trade.
So then the joke was, well, maybe he got out ahead of it, found out he wasn't traded. That's why he was
crying.
That's
why he's upset.
Because the Mets were so bad.
He was off the Mets.
But here's what's funny. Him being traded is what caused him to cry. Mm-hmm. And then him being traded didn't happen. So now it's just him crying.
But for no reason. He's even more beloved now because everyone in New York's like, he cares about our team.
That's
he
right.
really wants to be there.
Nope.
Yep.
By the way, Kevin.
He hates Milwaukee.
When he came, I don't know, man. The Mets were pretty bad. When he came out to bat in the game, every time, standing ovation from the crowd because they just felt so bad for him about what he was going through. But that's a sweet sports story, isn't it?
I loved it.
Okay.
What other sport does that happen in?
You don't see a lot of crying on professional athletes. You don't. Except out of happiness. I agree.
Game.
But it was sweet. I mean, I think I'm not mad at Wilmer Flores.
Game.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
If anybody's got a plan B, how about now?
Oh, Lava Angela.
Is that Lava Angela?
Yes. We have a brand new internet roundup today. Very excited about that. We're going to talk to Joe Rogan about UFC 190, which is Saturday night. Apparently, we're gonna search my locker.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's...
It was either going to be us or it was going to be the police. I think it's better if we get to it first.
Here's what happens is I start accumulating stuff and I don't take anything out. So then I just pile on top of pile on top of pile. And yesterday I walked in and Ralph was standing there sitting at his desk and he could see that my locker was spring-loaded. And when I opened it yesterday, it exploded on me.
Like an avalanche.
Yes. And papers went everywhere and he just thought that was the funniest thing he's ever seen. So apparently we're going to go through the locker.
I wonder how we should take we should have an office pool on what the oldest item is in Kevin's locker.
You're thinking like food?
No, I'm thinking if there's like a date on paperwork or something like that. Like, have you been stacking stuff up there for 2 years? For 5 years? Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know? It's your locker.
Yeah, I know, but I haven't really gone through my locker in a while. So this is going to be fascinating for all of us.
All right.
I don't know what's going to be in there. We're going to talk sports with Jim Rome on the program today. And we have Andy Daly in the studio talking about his show on Comedy Central. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
Our friend Joe Rogan on the way to Brazil for UFC 190 checks in just a few minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph Garman steps in, too. And it's time for the Showbiz Beat.
Already killed a lion, too, man.
That's not.
Yeah,
you better find a different story.
No, it's not what I heard. Mm. He had a GPS
around
his neck.
That wasn't him. That was a dentist in Minnesota.
No, I mean, Joe Rogan had the GPS around his neck. Someone was trying to track him. I don't know. I got confused. I'm not sure how the story worked out, but I think he ate it.
I better check up on that story, then.
I think he ate the lion. Here's the thing, boys and girls, that I will never understand. And I like to think that I'm a man of a certain acumen. I like to think if you sat me down and you explained something to me in plain, simple English, I'd be able to absorb it, understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Not this. How does this ever happen? How does any couple ever, ever, ever hire a hot nanny? How does that happen? what's the mechanics? What the? This comes on the tail end of the story from Us Weekly magazine that Ben Affleck is... reportedly dating the nanny to their three children, Christina Ouzonian. And so, to do my due diligence, of course, as a journalist, I did a little research on Christine Ouzonian. And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good nanny?
Good nanny. Yeah. I'd like to be nannied. I need my diapers changed. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know what that means, but I'm just saying. She's... spectacularly attractive. How does that happen? How does she come in for the interview and your wife and you look at each other and go, yes, we'd like to invite this spectacularly attractive young girl into our home and make her part of our family?
Do you think Jennifer Garner said, hey, what do you think of her? And he's like, you know, whatever.
Your choice. I suppose she's fine,
well,
I guess.
Sure. She's all right.
I mean, the other ones I've heard... are drug addicts and carry weapons, so maybe she's the only one we should maybe go with, maybe. Anyway, Ben's camp is denying it, however, sources are calling it true, and so take it for what it's worth. Regardless, even if it's true or not, why would you do... I've seen Lifetime movies. Why do you dangle that sort of bait in front of a fella? If it was me, I wouldn't want it just for the fact that I don't want to deal with that. I don't even... Let's not even go there. Let's not open up that can of fish, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
And she can't be happy with it. No woman wants that either.
I can't imagine. I don't know.
All right.
She could have thought, hey, I'm Jennifer Garner, so I win.
Nobody wins, though.
Well, I'm just saying that could have been her thought process.
Nobody wins. Yes, Jennifer Garner's beautiful also, but there's always... But new is always there, right? Well, it isn't always there, I guess. That's the point of new. I guess,
yeah.
But the threat of new is always there.
Right.
And that will always carry with it a certain weight, a certain cachet, a certain energy to it.
So make her ugly?
Yes, of course.
It's your rules of hiring?
I'm going to start a new business called Ugly Nannies. And I will just be the richest man in Hollywood because every famous Hollywood couple will come to me and say, yes, this is a safe nanny. This is a nanny I can get behind.
With a no-sex guarantee.
That's right. If you want to have sex with any of our nannies, we'll give you double your money back here at Ugly Nanny. Come on down. We're on a sale. We got a lady with a mole on her face the size of a kumquat. Welcome to Ugly Nanny. Zayn Malik just signed a solo deal.
Yes!
Former One Direction member Zayn Malik now with RCA Records. It's very exciting.
Is it very exciting?
Nope.
Okay.
But it looks like he's serious. He's going to have his own solo career, so. No word yet on when his debut solo album will be released, but I will keep you posted, I promise, with our Zayn Malik update.
We don't do a Zayn Malik update.
We do now.
Okay.
Bieber's going to have a new single this summer. He's announced his new single will be out on August the 28th. It's called What Do You Mean? He said, it's up-tempo, it's fun, it's summery. Good time to release the summer song, Bieber, on August the 28th, just before the summery holiday of Labor Day, when we all pack up and we get ready to celebrate summer. And Scott Weiland, speaking of music, has canceled every show on his upcoming European tour except for one. The opening night of September the 3rd in London will still happen, but the rest of the concerts for Scott and his backing band, The Wildabouts, are off. The official statement reads, Scott and the band, along with management, want the fans to know this decision was not made lightly. But as it stood, the tour dates had far too many administration and production issues to overcome. And ultimately, the fan experience would have been far below what Scott feels his loyal fans deserve.
Can I translate that? I speak Scott.
Please. Oh, sure.
His dealer lives in London.
Zing!
Aww.
Fans in London said, why do you hate us? Because he will be doing a show there. So.
Although, if you're holding tickets to the one show he's going to do, do you? I mean,
really. I make a plan B for that night.
Yes.
I maybe make you reservations at a restaurant or something.
With the
just
nanny.
In case, with the nanny.
Nanny date.
With my ugly nanny.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. A lot of people born today. A lot of good people, too. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger celebrates his 68th birthday.
Speaking
today.
Of nannies.
Speaking of nannies. And now she was an ugly nanny. See, here's the thing. Even ugly nannies aren't safe. But they will at uglynanny.com. Come on down. We have nannies so ugly, even Arnold Schwarzenegger won't bang them. That's our money-back guarantee.
I like that. That's a great business plan, Ralph.
I'm telling you. You'll be a very rich man very soon. Lawrence Fishburne's 54 years old today. Lisa Kudrow is 52. Vivica A. Fox turns 51. Terry Crews is 47. Simon Baker, he was The Mentalist. He's 46. Christopher Nolan, director of all those Batman movies, 45 years old today. Christine Taylor turns 44. Hilary Swank is 41 years old today. Jamie Presley, 38. Yvonne Strahovski, 33 years old today. Actress Gina Rodriguez is 31 years old. And soccer player Hope Solo is 34. Ow! Don't hit me.
How dare you.
I'm just saying. Oh, okay, you're right. She doesn't hit anybody, Kevin.
How?
She's a delicate young flower.
Dare you.
Her husband.
Kevin, you can love her on the field, but off field, she's a disaster. Ralph is right.
She's a dumpster fire of a person. Right?
It's tough to argue.
All right, then. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Dave, the King of Mexico.
What's up?
Dave's our producer here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and once a week he puts together the best of the viral videos across the internet. We call it the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Wake up! And watch the Internet Roundup!
Yeah. Good batch today, including a couple out of the news that I think you'll find. Kevin, I know you don't watch the news because you're a kid, but
you'll
especially find this first one fascinating because at the time the Confederate flag debate was going on in South Carolina and other states, there were all sorts of rallies, and we saw some very scary people marching, including the Klan. The Klan is still a thing, by the way.
Yeah.
Ku Klux Klan, still a thing in 2015. So what
Kevin,
this one guy decided to do was they're marching down the street to protest the flag coming down, and he marched right alongside them playing something that apparently sounds like a tuba, but it's really a sousaphone. And basically, he was providing a soundtrack for their march that made them sound so dumb, and it's hilarious.
How did he come up with that idea? I love that so much.
I do too. Because you know the Klansmen are thinking they're all macho and whatnot. And then if it got that guy playing next to them, just had to ruin their whole day. I love it. We talked about this one last week when we were having your calls on the air about choreography gone wrong at weddings. This is the original video that started it all. This is a group who they have quite an entrance onto the dance floor for their first dance, and they're really going for it until she gets kicked in the head by accident by him and falls to the ground. It's a must-see.
At any wedding, do you want to hear,
at the reception, none of those guests will ever forget. Dale, I'm going to let you set up the next one. It involves your girlfriend, Kristen Bell.
Oh, she's the best. Well, I guess it's this cancer patient who she called as Anna from Frozen and left a message saying that she is going to be an honorary princess.
This little girl who's so sick gets a call from probably her favorite animated character in the world, and Kristen Bell's just adorable. Listen to this.
My sister Elsa says she's heard that you've been such a good girl and that you've been so brave. She has decided to crown you as an honorary princess of Arendelle. Wow. That's so exciting.
You should see how excited this little girl is, too. It's so sweet. Couple of great movie videos for you here on the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, including Ant-Man. Here's the thing about these Marvel movies. They're so well done, and you can walk into a lot of these Marvel movies, like Ant-Man, for instance, and you don't know anything about it, but you still love the movie. But if you're a comic book geek, there's like a million Easter eggs and a million references to other things throughout the Marvel universe that you might not even get on first view. And that's why this video kind of brings them all up to speed for us.
Scott Lang's favorite ant
Antony is initially called Ant 427, a nod to Marvel Premiere 47 and Tales to Astonish 27, the initial appearance of the first two Ant-Men. The words Tales to Astonish are actually spoken by Darren Cross when he refers to Hank Pym's rumored past activities.
I gotta be honest, I loved Ant-Man and watched 30 seconds of this and said, nope.
Don't care.
Not for me.
By the way, I knew all of that.
Yeah, sure you did, Dave.
No, I watched this before I saw the movie, so when I saw the when I was watching the movie, I was like, yes, I know what that means. I know what that means. I know what that means. So it was really good.
Pretty deep dive, though, for comic book fans. A couple of Mission Impossible videos for you. First of all, if you it's been a while since you've seen any of the movies in the series. The new Tom Cruise film's just getting ready to come out. Here's the first one, which is Mission Impossible, Everything You Need to Know About the Franchise So Far.
As Ethan walks away, he gets another mission involving the Syndicate, setting up Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. Well, that about does her. Wraps are all up. Four movies, more Ving Rhames than you thought, and a lot of hanging above stuff.
That's about right. Honest Trailers takes a different approach. They just make, as they always do, even good movies sound bad.
So whether you prefer the first one, where Tom Cruise must apprehend a rogue IMF agent and an arms dealer, the second one, where Tom Cruise must apprehend an ex-IMF agent gone rogue trying to become an arms dealer, the third one, where Tom Cruise is framed as a rogue IMF agent to take down an arms dealer who's working with the actual rogue IMF agent. Or the fourth one, where Tom Cruise's entire team becomes rogue IMF agents, only to be betrayed by an arms dealer.
By the way, I love the Mission Impossible series, and that's all true.
Oh, gee. I'm looking at Dave because neither Dave nor I have seen any of those. I'm like, really? Bad. This is true?
Arms dealers are bad people, man. You shouldn't
I
work
think
with
it's
that.
Time for you to catch up on the Mission Impossible movies. This is a funny video called Moms Guess What Porn Terms Mean. So you get ladies who either don't know anything about porn or claim not to know anything about porn, and then you ask him, like, what's a DP? And you see him try to guess. And here's a tape.
An OBFF? I don't know. Boy, boy, women? I don't know. Like, black balls wide? I don't know. Boobs? I have no idea.
Ball walking? You walk around with that, your underwear or something?
Ball walking?
That's pretty good.
Sure.
That's a good guess.
Try some ball walking. Why not?
She said black ball wide.
Yes. They're just guessing. They have no idea what it is. They're just guessing. This is funny with El Chapo in the news. We haven't heard much about him lately since he escaped from prison, but he's that Mexican drug lord who's on the run. Well, Rockapella, the band that does the original theme song for Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, the kids show, they have updated it for Where in the World is El Chapo.
He's a ruthless drug kingpin, trafficked smoking marijuana. He escaped from a prison, and we don't know where he is. On a cruise ship to Colombia, or a jet to Guyana. Tell me, where in the world is
El Chapo?
Pretty good, right?
Guys, we need to start an acapella band.
That's the...
Come on!
What? That's the happiest little song about the worst topic.
It is. Allie, what's your new boyfriend's name? The guy who works for the sheriff's department down there in Louisiana.
Wasn't it Higgins?
Higgins. I think it was. Yeah. I think it was Lieutenant Higgins. He's a guy who's become a little bit of a television star in that part of the state because he does a Crime Stopper show for the parish of St. Landry, where he basically goes on TV and talks about the crimes that have happened throughout the week and who you should be on the lookout for. And this one in particular, I think, made a lot of people happy.
If you're the man that committed this felony, look at me, son. I'm talking to you. The sheriff likes Stelly's restaurant, and so do I. The food here is good, and the folks are friendly. We're going to identify you, arrest you, and put you in a small cell. After that, I'm going to have a cheeseburger here with fries and a Coke and leave a nice tip for the waitress. Meanwhile, your next meal will be served through a small hole in a cell door.
Boom!
He's perhaps the most popular lawman in America. And finally, on this week's Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, our old friend Jimmy Kimmel Live, when he's not crying over lions, he's bringing us This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
Forget Pluto. It's time to the aliens.
Probably not easy getting your butt by a guy who had a broken just a few months ago.
I've been waiting to ask you this all day for 3 seconds now. Have you guys butt anyone before?
All the time. Well,
fill in the blank. A guy knows he's had too much to drink when he tries to his what?
His sister.
You can see all these videos and so much more at KROQ.com or KevinandBean.com. Hit it, Steve!
Wake up! Wake up! And watch the Internet Roundup!
Yeah! Spent like an hour on that site last night. It's really taught me a lot.
Do you think that's going to catch on, let your lawn fade to gold, California gold? Is that going to be the new thing? Like, oh, man, look how brown my grass is. It's the best.
No.
I don't think so either. Hey, hopefully it's many years in the future, but when our friend Joe Rogan dies, I hope he leaves us some of his frequent flyer miles, because this dude spends a lot of time on planes, and he is on his way to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil today, because he's going to be calling the fights on Saturday night from there, UFC 190. Welcome Joe Rogan back to the program. How are you, sir?
Good morning.
You're a beautiful person, Joe. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
So, we couldn't be more excited about this this Ronda Rousey fight. I mean, she is just – I mean, you've been in UFC a long, long time. Have you ever seen a superstar develop like she has with the interest? It's like a snowball at this point. Like, she can't be any more awesome than she is, right?
She's something very unique, you know. Like, having a chance to watch her fight like this, I always feel like it's a chance to watch history. Because I've never met anybody like her, never seen anybody like her, never heard of anybody like her. She's just like a total outlier in the world of combat sports. So to me, like, I don't like flying all the way to Brazil. I love going there. Like, it's a fun place to be. It's an interesting country. It's beautiful. But the flight is a nightmare. But
yeah.
For me, it's like, I really feel like every chance I get to watch her fight is a chance to see history.
Joe, you interviewed her last week on UFC on Fox.
Yeah.
And she said something that sort of surprised me, which is that after the 14, 15, 16 seconds or whatever her fight was the last time, she was exhausted. And that surprised me because I thought, wow, I would think you would have nothing but energy for like a month.
I think she was saying she was exhausted from all the different things she does. I don't know what she was saying there.
Oh, that didn't make sense to you either?
No, it's hard because those things, there's a massive delay.
Yeah.
Like there's a satellite delay over the earpiece, and there was a little bit of problem with that interview because it dropped off a couple of times while we were doing it. We had to restart again.
Right.
So I'm not exactly sure what she was saying there. But look, as far as her cardio, though, she can go for days. It's not that. You know, if she was exhausted, it was just because, wow, I just did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of those things.
And I'm sure mentally there's that huge sigh of relief. I mean, you think about something so much for months at a time, and then all of a sudden it finally happens. I bet that you just – I mean, I can see how that would wipe you out just mentally.
Yeah, I could see how, too. I mean, she's in a very unusual position for a human being. Like, the amount of stress – and the amount of eyes that are on her, she's doing movies, and then she's flying from movies to doing, you know, the Jimmy Kimmel show, and then flying on, you know, it's just a million different things that are going on all the time in her life. It's just, it's a very, very unusual life she's living.
Ronda, of course, is 11-0, and, you know, her last three fights have combined for 96 seconds, and a lot of people have said, where are they going to find a good enough competitor to make it a great fight? Have they found that in Betch Cahera? Is she the one, Joe?
Well, Betch Cahera absolutely thinks they have. I think they have, and then experience is reality are two totally different things, and
I
think that's what we've seen with every single one of Ronda's opponents. They think that they're something special, too, and then they get in the ring with her, and they find their ankles up in the sky and their head on the ground. They're like, what is going on? Why am I flying? Boom. And then she's beating you up, and you're like, what just happened? She's so good. It's so hard to figure out, like, if anybody's going to be able to solve that puzzle that's in the UFC right now. It's like, you know, Betch Cahera is a very tough lady. She hits real hard, and she's got good takedown defense, and she's strong, and she believes in herself. And sometimes that's enough. Anything can happen. It's a crazy sport when people are throwing their knuckles at your face, and you're zigging and zagging, and maybe you should have zigged, but you zagged, and you run into something, and your lights get shut out. It's anything can happen in the sport.
Ronda brought up her mindset, which is that she's also undefeated. Will that work for her, do you think?
It definitely helps, because she hasn't – you're talking about Betch Cahera.
Yes.
She hasn't lost. And when you haven't lost, you don't feel that sting. You don't know. But sometimes you feel better when they lose, because if you lose, then you realize how awful it is to lose, and then you know what you did, maybe, that allowed you to lose, and then you make sure you don't do that again. The experience is, like, one of the best teachers. If you look at male MMA, almost everyone has a loss. Like, almost all the best guys have a loss somewhere in there.
We're talking to our friend Joe Rogan here on the Kevin Amin Show, UFC commentator, about UFC 190, which is going to be this Saturday night from Rio de Janeiro. Early prelims begin, by the way, at 4 o'clock, the main card at 7. Joe, we had Rhonda on yesterday, and I asked her if she thought it was going to make any difference at all that this is going to be the first time she's fought UFC outside of North America, because there's going to be, I mean, obviously, Betch is going to be the hometown favorite, and the audience is going to be really against her. And she said she experienced so much booing in her judo days that she doesn't think it's going to be a problem. Do you agree?
I think psychologically she could handle almost anything. You know, I think her mom, who is this brilliant woman who raised her to be a champion, literally raised her to be a champion, and her mom prepared her for virtually anything. One of the things she did is she used to send her to judo tournaments with no coach, by herself, when she was a kid. She would just send her off to these hostile environments to compete. And she just made her incredibly mentally tough and pliable because of that.
It almost seems like she might be driven a little bit more by all the boos.
Maybe, dude. She's crazy. You have to be crazy to be that good. You have to be crazy. I mean, she's just something. Like I said, all respect. I think she's like a historical figure, and I really do feel like one day I'll be telling my grandkids, you know, I saw her fight live a few times.
Right. We're talking like people do about Ali now and people like that.
Yeah, like people do about Sugar Ray Leonard, like people do about the greats. I think there's no doubt about it. She has made more people care and pay attention about female combat sports than any human being that's ever walked the face of the planet.
Joe, there's always another fight on the card, almost always, that is easily as good or better than the headliners. Is there a sleeper fight that we need to be aware of?
There's a bunch of good fights on this card. Damian Maia versus Neil Magny is a big fight on that card. That was it's one of the biggest fights for Damian Maia, for Neil Magny's career. And it's just, it's an important fight for the division. There's quite a few good fights on that card. Soa Pelele versus Bigfoot Silva. That's an interesting fight for heavyweights. There's a bunch of good fights on the undercard. There always is. And, you know, you never know. It's one of those things like on paper, everything looks good. You know, you never know what the heck's going to happen until they start throwing bombs at each other.
Right. All right, last question. You get to go to Brazil, every year. What's the thing you look forward to doing there that doesn't involve work when you get down to Rio?
I like eating there. They have the best churrascarias. You know what a churrascaria is?
No.
No idea.
It's a Brazilian steakhouse where you sit down. Like, Fogo de Chao is a place in Beverly Hills. They have it, and they have a few of them around the country, like Texas de Brazil. And what you do is you get a card. Like, one side is green and one side is red. And when it's green, they just keep coming by with food. All you can eat on skewers. They ask you, you know, would you like lamb? Would you like beef? And it's all cooked over an open fire. And then they cut off a piece at your table and give it to you. And then when you're done, when you tap out, you can't take anymore. You flip it over to red, and then they stop.
Why did you do the card thing? How much time can that possibly save?
I think it's just because they walk around from table to table, and they want to know if anybody's interested.
All right.
Kevin, it is nonstop meat.
Yeah.
You would love it.
I would love that.
I can't believe you've never eaten there. There's one
right down the street from us.
I don't eat a lot in Beverly Hills.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's and the one in Beverly Hills is pretty close. They just don't have there's a lot of stuff that they have in Brazil and the Brazilian places, like chicken hearts and liver and all these different things that they eat over there that Americans tend to shy away from.
Hey, look, this whole conversation was worth it just to hear Ali say the words nonstop meat. Joe, have a great time. Have a great flight. Have a great visit.
Sexual harassment or something.
And I'll take it, Joe.
Yeah, we're going to charge her with that.
Charge her?
Right.
I'm so confused.
She's the one who brought it up. Hey, we can't wait to see you Saturday night, my friend. Thanks so much for coming on.
Always good talking to you guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
I'm just saying, you don't cry. Oh, you're not going to bring this up again. We covered this. We all feel sad and we all feel bad for Mr. Flores. He seems like a nice man. Let him have his moment. He was just like Ali pointed out. He was just human. It's just a thing. He got some bad news and he reacted. That's it. Doesn't make him less of a man or less of a baseball player, Kevin.
Some Mets player during a game last night who played shortstop, who thought he was traded, and I guess he was, basically, and then it fell apart. But,
yeah, trade was in the works as we approached the baseball trading deadline, and he started getting word from fans in the stands, of all places. Hey, Wilmer, you got traded to the Brewers, and he's still in the game. They haven't pulled him because the trade hadn't gone through yet, but it was something that was being worked on. So he's standing out there at shortstop, and he's got a little bit of time to think about it, and all of a sudden he's, well, after this game, I guess I better go home and pack. I mean, I think he just welled up. He's a kid who's been in the Mets organization for many years. He's a relatively young player, and his lifelong dream was to play in New York. And now he's getting word that he's going to be going to Milwaukee. So the waterworks start. I think we have a tiny piece of the Mets sports broadcast from last night where they're describing why he's crying out in the infield.
And the fact that he's out there at risking injury at a time when you're trying to consummate the trade is strange in itself. But for him to be that emotional and out on the field just strikes me as odd.
Well, this is a business part of the game, Gary, and it can be heartless and unsympathetic.
Well, the good news is the trade did fall apart, so he is still on the New York Mets, and he's got to be feeling a lot better today. And I'm happy to say that we do have the young man Wilmer Flores from New York Mets on the phone with us right now. Hi, Wilmer. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
How are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, we're fine. You should be feeling a lot better today. You're still a Met.
I was until I heard the quality of that audio you just played.
It wasn't very good, was it? Well, that's what there was.
That was awful. I feel bad for everybody who's listening.
It was just a very short clip to try to bring some flavor of the event. That's all.
Not short enough.
Okay. I'm sorry.
It was really bad.
So listen, why don't you tell us what happened? The reports that we got were that fans in the stand alerted you to the fact that a trade was brewing. Is that what happened?
Well, it was. First of all, don't say brewing, okay?
Yeah. Sorry, that's too close to brewing. Yes. Okay. Don't mention Milwaukee around Wilmer. You got it. Okay. All right. You don't have to cry. Everything's fine.
It didn't happen. It did not go through. You're good.
You're still a Met.
Okay.
I
was, I got a standing ovation from the crowd, and I didn't understand what was going on. And so they say that, I was batting in the seventh inning, and I was confused by everybody standing ovation, giving me applause. So I say, what's going on? And so they look on the social media, and it says, I'm going to be trained in my life.
Okay. It's okay. You don't have to cry now, Wilmer. It's fine.
Wilmer, did you know that the cameras were on you when you went out and you were at shortstop? And
oh, yeah, so I go out again in the eighth inning, and I'm playing my position, you know?
Right.
And then I just got going, I get out, I go heaven, and then the cameras were filming me and everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you are a shortstop, so you're right there. I can see the cameras would see it. They would pick it up. They would probably focus on it.
But I couldn't help myself because I was going to have a walk-in.
Nobody wants Listen, nobody wants to go to Milwaukee.
I don't want to go to Milwaukee.
No, I understand.
And
but
it
look.
Also dawned on me, I play baseball. Oh, God, this sport sucks so much.
Come on.
Oh, it's the worst sport. Why didn't I play something else, anything else? My life is ruined.
So it's not just the trade. It's that you're actually a baseball player.
Oh, baseball blows.
Oh, wow.
Come on. What was I thinking? I'd be better off doing anything else.
That's wrong.
I hate baseball so much.
Come on, Wilmer.
Baseball time!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Do you have a helmet, Ralph? You're going to be wearing some sort of protective gear?
I've got a spelunking helmet. It's okay, a helmet ahead. That's got a lamp on the front of it, and then I will lower myself into the cavernous locker that is Kevin's, and I will do some reconnaissance and see what's actually in there.
Apparently, everything that Kevin has been handed over the last 5 years, he's just jammed into the little slot at the top of his locker.
I'll just put it in this locker here.
And here's the thing. We don't need lockers, really. We come in here, we do a little show, and we leave. It's not like we have a bunch of stuff we need. There's no gear we need to keep. We're not firemen. We don't need a helmet and a coat and some suspenders and things we need to put on to go to work. There's no need to even have a locker. But Kevin has, first of all, he's got a mat that he puts in the corner, and he's got a suitcase and a duffel bag, and then he's got this locker that's just jam-packed full of crap.
I do have to open it and then dive out of the way because it is spring-loaded. At this point, everything just shoots out.
He does. No, he's kidding, but I'm not kidding. He opens it up and puts something in and then slams it real fast again so that whatever's in there doesn't fall out. Like, what is that? What are you storing? You don't need to store anything.
A lot of important stuff.
No, it isn't.
A lot of important stuff.
We'll find out what is exactly.
We're going to find out. It's going to be the unveiling of Kevin's Locker coming up right after the top of the hour. And comedian actor Andy Daly will be here as well. We love him so much. Great to have him back. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday.
I want to let you know that Kevin Smith and I are bringing Hollywood Babylon back to Hollywood. We were in San Jose last weekend, but now we're back at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood.
No.
We'd love to have you come out and join us. It's tomorrow night.
No.
Friday night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Hollywood Babylon, with Kevin Smith and I talking about all things show business, as well as some other funny stuff as well. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets and come out and see us.
That is awful.
No, it's a very good show, sir. I don't know who you are, but you would like it if you ever went there.
No, no, no.
Terrence Howard.
Guilty.
Maybe.
Oh. She's saying it.
His ex-wife, Michelle Gent, alleges he grabbed her by the neck, pushed her into a bathroom wall, and began to strangle her during a Costa Rican vacation back in 2013. His
Ali, he's your boy. What do you think?
Oh, no. He's had a lot of issues in the past with
women. Not?
Yeah.
His former wife slapped him with a lawsuit this week, just one day short of the statute of limitations before that crime ran out. So, I guess she wants her piece of the empire.
Mm-hmm. You better give me my piece of that empire.
I built this empire for my sons. One of my sons will take over the empire.
Oh, I think I'll get a little empire, too. Mm-hmm.
There were some rumblings.
Actual audio
even
from the courtroom.
Yeah. Even when he was cast, people were saying, hey, don't we live in an era now where we take a dim view of, you know, this sort of domestic violence? We're not hiring people like that anymore. And people are like, you're giving Terrence Howard a pretty big platform over there on Fox.
Yeah.
So maybe they're, I guess we'll find out what happens.
Speaking of actors in trouble, Gerard Depardieu, legendary French actor, will not be permitted to enter the Ukraine for the next 5 years because of his support for Russia. Oh, no, you didn't. Yep. Security and border officials from the Ukraine have sent information about Gerard Depardieu to border checkpoints, which will keep him from entering the country.
So they have all of their other issues solved?
Apparently so, yes. Just keep that fat frog out of our country, they said. By the way, they have a list of about 500 foreign actors, artists, other creative people who have supported the annexation of the country or part of it by Russia, and they're keeping all those people out because they don't want that kind of talk in their country. Gerard Depardieu's a mess, too, by the way. Have you seen him lately?
I've seen pictures of him lately.
He's just a mess.
He's fat, right?
There's a lot happening.
It's
with
not
that
just
face,
fat.
Though.
Not just fat. It isn't just fat.
He's got an IV of wine he carries around with him at all times. It's like one of those stands with wheels. He just pulls it behind him.
He's got Donald Trump's hair if it was bad.
Yeah, it's very odd what's going on with him. That was a guy who relieved himself on the plane, remember? Gerard Depardieu got loaded and then stood up there in first class and just decided to wee-wee, as the French say, yes.
Ralph, I don't remember. I don't have anything in front of me. I don't remember the specifics of it. But I think Gerard Depardieu has a long history of something with Russia. Like, he was one of those.
He's a Russian citizen.
He's a tax exile from France.
Right.
And Russia went through a phase where they said, hey, all you celebrities that are complaining about the taxes in your country, come live in Russia and we'll treat you right and make you a citizen and give you a good deal and low taxes.
That's
and I think he was one of those guys, right?
He is one of those guys.
He is
officially a Russian citizen.
So that's why they're all ticked off at him, probably, because now they feel like he's kind of turning on him after they were good to him, right?
But I'm saying
no. He's a Russian citizen. The Ukraine doesn't want him there.
Because he is
supporting Russia's annexation of the Ukraine.
Ukraine is trying to keep Russia
from taking over their country, and he is supporting the Russian takeover of the Ukraine.
Ukraine is trying to stay independent. Independent. Yeah.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
I don't think you got me at all. That's what I'm
telling
you. I don't think you got me. I'm trying to get you to get me, but I don't think you got me.
I thought he ran afoul of Russia, but that makes more sense if Ukraine's pissed at him.
Yeah.
He's a mess.
And Meghan Trainor, you know her. She's all about the bass.
Sure.
She has recorded a theme for a new Peanuts movie.
Oh, no.
There's going to be a new Peanuts movie. It's going to be in theaters on November the 6th. And animators even came up with a Peanut-style cartoon for Megan, which she tweeted out yesterday. The theme to the movie is a new Meghan Trainor song entitled Peanuts Blows.
Wait, Peanuts Blows is the name of the song that she's putting in the movie?
It's weird, isn't it? Huh. Isn't that strange? No, I'm sorry. It's actually called The Peanuts Were Never Funny, Not Ever, Not Once is the name of the new single. So you can get that in November.
Ralph,
Ralph's trying to bring down Peanuts in 1 week.
Have you seen the trailer for the Peanuts movie?
I had a choice.
Dean, why would you say that?
I had a choice. I could watch the trailer, or they gave me an eyedropper full of bleach. And I said, you can put either one of these in your eyes. And so I just picked the Clorox.
Dean, you know that trailer, no matter what it is, would just make him more angry.
It looks phenomenal. Allie, back me up on this. The trailer 100%. Looks great.
It's a whole new look of the Peanuts. I cannot wait for that movie.
Charlie Brown goes up and rings the doorbell of the little red-haired girl.
Oh, so good.
So good.
Yay.
But it's animated, so you're not going to see it.
That's true. Bean won't see
it.
Is
that true, sir?
I do have a fear of animation. That's true.
Okay. Less from you.
These people, these are the people we work with.
I know.
They're crazy people.
I know.
What are we doing here? We need to get out.
I might crawl into your locker and never get out, Kevin. That's what I might do. That might be
that
my
might be
answer.
Your safe place.
I'm going to do the whole show from inside Kevin's locker. Today's celebrity birthday, it's just a big, big list of people. I'm not going to give you dates or ages, rather. I'm just going to give you the list.
All right.
It's enormous. Paul Anka, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Larry Fishburne, Lisa Kudrow, Vivica A. Fox, Terry Crews, Simon Baker, Christopher Nolan, Christine Taylor, Hilary Swank, Jamie Presley, Hope Solo, Yvonne Strahovski, and Gina Rodriguez all celebrate birthdays today. It's a lot of people.
That is, yeah.
Happy birthday to one and all. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jim Rome talks sports 1 hour from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And terrific actor and comedian Andy Daly joins us in studio from Review coming up in about 15 minutes. Are you a little bit nervous here, Kevin?
Well, I do find it funny that I don't know what Ralph's going to find.
In my locker.
In your own locker.
Yeah, that's weird to me.
Now, Ralph brought up a good point a moment ago, and we'll go to him in the field in 1 second. Why do we have lockers at K-Rock?
Because of our equipment that we have to use.
Okay. What do you use your locker for? It's just a big trash can for you, right?
No, everything in there is important, as I think we'll find out.
Okay.
Everything right, has its place.
Ralph, are you in front of Kevin's locker?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah,
I can.
You sound great.
Okay.
Sound great. What was it that happened earlier this week that made you realize we needed some sort of a trash intervention?
Well, I've got an office here, a desk here in the morning show office that I do prep work and stuff at. So I'm usually sitting there in the morning putting together the showbiz beat when Kevin comes in with 5 seconds left before we go live on the air. And so he'll come running in and run over to this bank of lockers, and then he'll open up his locker and then throw something in real quick and then slam the locker door again. Because he knows if he leaves it open for longer than a second or two, it will just come cascading out. Whatever crap he's accumulated over the years will just come pouring out. And so the other day, he left it open a little too long, and it was a volcano of crap just came pouring out everywhere, and there was papers everywhere.
It was paper-geddon. That did happen.
It was a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I'm so confused by this because the rap on Kevin has always been whatever Dave gives him that's important, a book to read, a video to watch, it always ends up in the backseat of his car, I thought. I didn't realize there was some other dumping grounds.
He just dumps everything. And he asked us to buy him a shredder that he's used like – twice.
Hey, but that really came in handy
no,
those two times.
No, it doesn't come in handy. It just sits there taking up room next to the couch because he had to have a shredder.
You don't know, man.
And it's 4 feet high. It's about a foot wide, this locker, and it's just packed with paper. If anything should be shredded, it's whatever's in here.
All right. Well, are we going in?
I'm going to go in, okay? Right. I'm going to lift the latch here. Holy crap.
Oh, come on. It's all important.
How's it look?
Wow.
First Your eyes and ears on the ground,
is,
Ralph.
First thing I noticed, just box after box of almonds.
Yeah.
Why?
You keep almonds in there.
You keep a ton of almonds in here.
Well, you guys know how much I eat them.
You don't.
The show.
You don't eat. I've never seen you eat almonds. I see you eat candy and everything else, but I've never seen you eat almonds.
Yeah, I forgot they were there.
Is that your stash for when farmers aren't allowed to grow them anymore because they use too much water? You're going to be like the last guy standing with almonds? You can sell them on the black market?
Here's a to-go coffee cup from Starbucks. Kevin's never had a cup of coffee in his life, as far as I've ever seen.
Why would you save a coffee cup? If I had to guess, it would be for hot tea when I get sick. If I had to guess.
We don't have those here.
Having said that, I don't ever use it. I don't remember ever using it because I didn't remember it was there.
It's an old box of See's candies in here. Oh. It's an open, unwrapped, half-eaten box of See's candy.
Oh, I wish I would have known that was there. From some previous Christmas, probably.
I'm not kidding. There's like five boxes of almonds in
All
here.
All right. Take it easy.
And See's candy. Remember when we had the ant infestation? Now we
yes.
know why. He's got half-assed boxes of See's candy in here.
That's not like Kevin to leave chocolate uneaten, by
I
the way.
I know. It must be something wrong with it. He must have poisoned it or something for the ants.
I told you all of this is sort of a surprise to me.
Hey,
I don't have time to look.
Kevin actually has granola bars in here.
I thought that was just the bit.
I like Nature Valley Tremis Chewy Granola Bars. It's fruit and nuts. It's got peanuts and cranberries and raisins and, of course, almonds. I love almonds.
Yeah,
we're finding out about his affection for almonds.
Most of his diet.
There are about 400 highlighters.
I need highlighters.
No, you don't? There's...
I don't really use them.
Oh, hold on 1 second. There is...
Are you just pulling it all out onto the ground?
Oh, no, don't, Ralph. Out, no. Uh-oh. There's a... there's a wireless mouse for a computer.
Okay.
It's still in the box.
Really?
Yeah.
Good spot for that.
The TrackMan marble mouse. So that'll come in handy someday if you ever decide to... Pull this
Look
out
up
and do something with it.
Interesting.
Wow, it's just highlighter downpour here. Just the highlighters just pouring out of every orifice. It looks like a pair of women's track pants.
What?
Oh, hang on a second here. What? Yes.
Well,
did you say women's track pants?
This is absolutely a pair of women's track pants.
Women's track
sweatsuit pants that belong to a woman.
What's going on there?
Size 3.
What?
I have no idea. But some woman in Kevin's life wears a size 3 female track pant.
Bean, this is going to surprise you because you're not like me, but I know what that is as much as you do.
I have
really?
No idea.
That doesn't sound at all familiar. Like, you don't remember why you de-pantsed a woman in the office.
I'm 100% telling you these are women's sweatsuit pants.
All right.
Pants. And they are just jammed in there under the See's candy. Let's see.
It's from our hot nanny, Ralph.
It's from your hot nanny, yeah. We got a T-shirt here that says, it says, take yo panties off.
What is happening?
This is a T-shirt with a litho of a design that says, take yo panties off.
I wish I would have known that was there. I would wear that.
Talk about party now, buzz. This is the party locker, apparently. You got women's pants in here and take your panties off t-shirts.
Is take your panties off. That sounds to, is that, does that have something to do with
Craig Robinson?
Isn't that one of the things that he says in his act?
I guess. I don't
take
know.
Take your panties off. Maybe
I'm
they sent him
Kevin
a t-shirt or something. Yeah.
All right. The final season of Breaking Bad. If you're interested, you want to check that out. You can binge watch that in Kevin's locker. We got 3 or 4 leather zip-up binders, apparently. Kevin's got a lot of binders.
I need binders.
I guess you need to bind the women that you strip their panties off. Pads, papers. Oh, so much paper.
See?
So
See
much
important
paper.
Stuff,
Not,
right?
No, it's just all blank, just all empty.
Right.
Just empty.
It's a
more
stash for when I need it.
A lot
Kevin,
of dentine.
You don't use any of this stuff. You didn't know most of it was in there. Why do you save it?
Too much work to clean out.
Is that what it is?
Okay. Yeah, 2 boxes of unused business cards.
Oh, those I need.
Let me see. Let me read one of the business cards.
I need those business cards.
Kevin Ryder, K-Rock FM, take yo panties off. It says on the business card.
It does.
It's just, it's a mess. It's a nightmare. Yeah.
Just set fire to all of it, Ralph.
My eyes will smell this locker forever.
For many years, our next guest is best known as that guy from that show. But now, thanks to the success of Review on Comedy Central, he'll be known as that guy from this show. Andy Daly steps in, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Kevin Avincio on K-Rock. Hey, Andy.
Thank you very much. Happy to continue to be that guy.
You are always that guy.
Yeah.
Great to see you. Very exciting to have Review back on. Now, for folks who maybe haven't checked out the show or haven't heard you on talking about it before, Set up the premise for our listeners,
yeah.
Please.
So Review is a show about I play a character named Forrest McNeil who reviews life experiences. Anything that his audience asks him to do, he will go out and he will do it to the fullest extent that he can with 100% commitment. And then he'll come back and he'll rate it on a scale of 1 to 5 stars. And it could be anything from what's it like to be a racist or what's it like to have road rage. And he doesn't ever turn down any experience because he believes it's an important community service that he is uniquely qualified to perform.
There's never been anyone in the history of show business is more committed to honesty in his craft than Forrest.
Absolutely true. Yeah. I think he feels that the world would be lost without him.
Yeah.
So he's an idiot.
He's also had no life experiences himself.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's one thing that I love about it is that this show that Forrest is doing is moronic, but if you were ever going to choose anybody to do it, he's actually the last person you would choose to do it because he knows nothing about life or people.
He's got some social issues as well.
Yes, I would say so. Yeah. He is not what you'd call socially adept.
No. And he's lost a lot this past season, his wife.
Yep.
Custody of the children.
Indeed. Yes. We've sort of said that nothing resets for Forrest at the end of a given segment or the end of a given episode. Every one of these experiences that he takes on is cumulative. And so his life is being destroyed by this television show.
Now, no one forces him to take it as seriously as he does. Most employees, they go, well, some sort of balance between work and real and home life.
Don't know Forrest, man.
For instance, when Forrest is given the challenge of, hey, what's it feel like to get a divorce?
Right.
He goes home and basically says to his wife, I need a divorce, but never tells her why. Like, never tells her, I have to do this for the TV show, honey. I'm really sorry. He just does it.
Yeah. Well, I think for him,
devastating effects.
Yeah, for sure. I think he feels obviously it would skew the results of the experiment, you know, if he could explain that he didn't really mean it, you know, then he wouldn't really have a genuine experience of divorcing your wife. Of course, what he doesn't realize is that it could never be a genuine experience of divorcing your wife because he completely doesn't want to and has no reason to.
Right.
Well, he's doing it for the show.
For the show, yeah. Yes, for society so that others can understand how many stars divorce gets.
Because most of us are so confused as to whether it's good or bad.
And the only way we can understand it is by stars.
That's
it's
true.
So stupid.
Exactly.
To boil life experiences down to 1 to 5 stars. Idiotic.
Are we going to find out why he's doing this? What is driving him to just keep going with this?
I think it's ego. And, pretty much just ego. I think this is his place in the world and the thing that he truly – it's his special talent, the thing that he truly believes – he is meant to do
special,
in the world.
All right. That's a good way
spirit.
To describe him.
Yeah.
What was the episode? I'm going to guess, and then you can tell me if I'm wrong or not. The episode that you got the most reaction to in the first season, I probably was the divorce episode because that was also coupled with pancakes.
Yep, that's right. Somehow.
Is that the one?
Pancakes took the nation by storm. That is an episode where the first thing Forrest has to review is what's it like to eat 15 pancakes, and he has a crisis there. He can't go forward, but his faith in the show is renewed by his producer who kind of lays out the stakes to him. And then the next thing he has to review is what's it like to divorce your wife, and then the next thing he has to review is what's it like to eat 30 pancakes.
That's a show, you guys.
Yeah. Now, how many episodes have there been?
So there were 9 in season 1, and then tonight season 2 begins, and there will be 10 of those.
How many pancakes did you have to eat filming that episode?
Well, that was like a full day shooting the 15 pancakes and the 30 pancakes segments in Frank's Diner out in Burbank. They make a terrific pancake. And I would say I really tried not to swallow any pancake, but I probably over the course of the day ate the equivalent of 1 or 2 pancakes. But
That's all.
But I had a lot of pancakes in my mouth, which I then spit into a bucket on the seat next to me.
Oh, that sounds great!
Beautiful, right? That bucket was donated to charity.
Was there a PA who had to come around with a spit bucket for your pancakes, Andy?
Yeah, it was for some reason that falls to the props department. I'm not entirely sure. Mm. When food is on camera, it's a prop.
Right.
And then somehow, even then, when it's been spit into a bucket, it continues to be a prop. That's just how it goes in show business.
Oh, the beautiful world of showbiz, huh?
I always wonder because a lot of times you see people eating and drinking on TV, and particularly with the food, there's no way that they keep that food hot because you're sitting there, you know, hour after hour, take after take. lot of times actors probably have to eat really terrible things in the course of filming a TV show or movie.
Yeah, well, I heard an interview with Jon Favreau where he was saying you can tell the amateur actor because they are really eating the food on screen. The more seasoned actors are sitting there picking at the wedding cake in the wedding scene. And it's true because this is food that came from the prop department. You know, I don't know who made this. I'm not going to eat it. I just move it around on the plate a little bit. Sorry if it looks phony.
That makes sense. How did you get the beautiful Alison Tolman on season two? She, of course, was the cop from Fargo, for folks who saw that. And she's an amazing, incredible actor. I assume you must have snagged her before Fargo. She doesn't need to do shows like yours after Fargo, right?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Wow, that's sort of an insult there, Bean.
Sort of.
I'm just saying.
Nailed it.
Isn't she too good for Andy Daly at this point? That's my question.
We must have caught her at a particularly insecure moment.
Hey, this could all go away. You never know.
Yeah, you know how show business. She might have just blown an audition that morning and said, it's all over for me. I got to take anything that comes my way.
Maybe she's doing a show where she had a challenge. What's it like to slum with Andy Daly? You ever think about that? She couldn't say
What's it like to ruin my career on Comedy Central? We have the same casting director as Fargo, believe it or not. Our casting director won an Emmy for Fargo. And so we had this part and she read and she was like, you know who would be great is Alison Tolman. And we said, nah. And no, we were thrilled by that idea. And she is so good.
She's amazing.
So good. I want you two to be a couple in real life. I'm telling you, that's how cute you are together.
Yeah. Oh, she's really good.
All right, we're talking with Andy Daly. The show is called Review. It airs on Comedy Central. It comes back tonight for Season 2 at 10 o'clock. And you've got some fantastic challenges for Season 2 that we want to get into when we return right after this on K-Rock. We'll talk sports with our friend Jim Rome coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. Stick around for that. Andy Daly in studio with us right now. He is executive producer and actor for a show called Review, back for Season 2 tonight on Comedy Central. What was your favorite of the Season 2 challenges for Forrest?
I had a particular amount of fun with something in our fourth episode, What's It Like to Be a Cult Leader?
Okay.
Wonderfully enjoyable to just see Forrest, sort of begin by saying, well, you know, this isn't going to be a negative experience for anybody. We're going to have a wonderful time. I'm going to make a fun cult. And then the inevitability of becoming power mad. It was great fun to play.
Now, Forrest gets to do something special with the show this season, correct?
Oh, yes, that's right. Forrest is allowed to veto two reviews so that his life does not go to hell. At least that's the idea. But, you know, that's a hard thing. If you've got two reviews over the course of 10 episodes, when do you do it? When are you certain
sure.
that this is the time to, because you don't want to blow them.
Something worse might come up and you need to hold on to them.
Absolutely. And not only that, we've already established he's incredibly committed. So to him, it's not going to feel good to deploy one of these vetoes. It will feel like an easy way out.
He doesn't veto, does he?
Well, I'm not going to spoil anything for you.
Oh,
if I know Forrest like I think I know Forrest, he doesn't.
He doesn't. I tell you, he doesn't want to.
Yeah. Nope. Andy, take me back to the if you were there, and I'm guessing you were, the day that somebody came up with, let's have Forrest test out a glory hole. Take me back to that meeting and all the high fives that went on. You guys realized that we're going to shoot it. We're going to do that one.
You know, I have to say, so we have a wall of index cards, and on each index card is written any idea anybody ever has for a segment, and some of them make no sense whatsoever. Like there was one that stayed up for a long time that just said R2-D2 on it. I don't know what is it like to be R2-D2 or something like that. I don't know, but a lot of them just make no sense. One of them even said something what's it like to be Conrad Murray was one. How would you review that?
I don't know. You have to kill a Michael Jackson impersonator, maybe?
I guess so. But it's just a wall of anything anybody comes up with. And my memory of my first experience of Glory Hole was just staring at that wall as I did so many days in that writing room, just waiting for something to spark my imagination and seeing the words Glory Hole on one of those cards and just going, oh, well, there you go. I mean, that's going to happen at some point.
Has there ever been anything in life that has a better name
than a glory hole. That's true.
That's fantastic.
It does make a pretty big promise there
that's
in the name, doesn't it?
I mean, no negative in there at all.
Not at all. And that just can't be just an average experience. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be pretty glorious.
You as an actor and as a human, do you have shame at all when you're filming some of these things? I mean, are any of them at all embarrassing, or are you guys at such a level of professionalism that everybody understands, hey, this is just this is just making sausage?
Yeah, it's more the latter, but I do have to say, in particular, that's the glory hole segment. It's on tonight. Yes, it's part of our season premiere. Getting off on the right foot with the American
tonight
public.
At 10 on MTV.
Yeah,
Comedy Central.
Comedy Central.
My
yes.
bad.
That's all right. It was the second day of shooting the glory hole segment, and so the crew, like, we don't all know each other all that well.
Uh-huh. And you're standing there pretending to, you know.
Yes, I have my pelvis up against the partition of a bathroom wall, and you know, an actual public park bathroom is where we shot it, and it was that one was a little bit awkward. And I guess apparently the crew is out watching monitors out in this public park, and some stranger came along and watched for a little while. Just watched about, well, what are you doing? Just watching the monitors. And he was told, by way of explanation, somebody told him, we're shooting a commercial. And he took that explanation.
He's like, all right.
What could that be a commercial for?
Yeah, right.
Glory holes.
Glory holes, I guess.
There just have to be so many times, not only with this show, but with all the things you've done, where you have to go, this is my job. I'm an adult, and this is what I got up to come do today.
Yep, absolutely. In fact, I remember saying, just for fun, while I was standing there, I looked in the camera at some point and said, I'm on an artist's journey.
All right. The clip you have, Kevin, I think it is also from tonight's episode of Review, right?
I'm not sure. This is the one, 18, where he gets in a fight.
Yes. You're right. This is from Forrest's review of the very first review back for season two. He has asked, what is it like to get in a bare-knuckle brawl?
And that's the type of thing that most of us would go, I'm not interested in being in that sort of situation at all. But, of course, Forrest, being committed to his craft, he goes out and he figures out a way to get into a fight with a guy who's trying to take some money out of an ATM, and things go horribly, horribly wrong.
Yes.
This man just cut me in line for the ATM. Now I have a reason to start a bare-knuckle brawl. Excuse me. I was next for that ATM. Oh, wow, that really hurts. That's something I had not considered, how much it hurts me to punch somebody. Obviously, it hurts when you're getting punched, but to...
Bad things happen to poor Forrest.
We really have a soft spot for just nonsense.
Uh-huh.
We love nonsense shows.
Yep. This one is pretty nonsensical.
This is good.
It is.
There's pretty much everything you do we like.
Oh,
for that
you.
Reason.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah.
It's meant to be a compliment.
I appreciate it.
May not have come out that way.
No, no,
that's
no.
How it was meant.
I like
all
it
right.
a lot.
All right. What
check
else do we
have? Out.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I was going to say, what else do we have this?
Well, tonight, in addition to the Bare Knuckle Brawl and Glory Hole, he has to experience what's it like to blackmail someone. And the target of his blackmail is his new girlfriend. And you can imagine how great that goes for everyone involved.
Excellent.
Next week, he reviews what's it like to cure a gay person. Of being a gay person,
sure,
to be clear.
Sure, right.
Forrest.
That works. Sure. And what's it like to join the Mile High Club?
Wow, that's quite an episode.
I know. That one's action-packed.
I like it.
And then after that, episode three, what's it like to sleep with your teacher? What's it like to be a little person? So that's a real...
To be a little person.
To be a little person. That's a real challenge. That, by the way, is the reason we didn't do what's it like to be R2-D2, because they seem too similar.
Okay. All right. Well, the series is terrific, as you can tell. We're all big fans. It's called Review. It returns tonight on Comedy Central at 10 o'clock for season two. By the way, you can catch up for free on ComedyCentral.com. You can see all of season one if you want to get up to speed with the wonderful life of Forrest McNeil and the great actor Andy Daly in studio with us here on the Kevin Meacher. Andy, so good to see you, my friend. Thanks
Thank
for coming in.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
By the way, don't forget K-Rock Road Trip USA 2015 stop number 4 sends you to Del Mar, California to see No Doubt, The Killers, 311, Young, the Giant, AWOL Nation, and so much more. At 9 o'clock this morning, we'll hook you up with some 3-day passes, and you'll be eligible for the grand prize drawing that we do on Monday that involves hotel and limo service and so much more. Details at krock.com. What you talking about, Ralph Garman?
Well, lots of interesting news. You know, they're doing that Wiz show on NBC. NBC's been doing live musical productions. Started with The Sound of Music, then they followed up with Peter Pan. Now The Wiz is the next in the lineup, and they're having
nobody beats it.
They're having a hell of a time.
Come on.
Nobody beats the Wiz.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, we know.
Come on.
That's not even a Southern California thing.
Come on.
So what's going on with it?
They're having a hard time finding their Dorothy. They still haven't cast Dorothy. Still looking for a young African-American woman who can act and sing. But the rest of the roles are being filled out. The Wizard will be played by Queen Latifah.
Oh, okay.
We should all hail her, I think. Shouldn't we? Don't you think when it comes to Queen Latifah, we should all get
together? That's my normal stance.
And
sure.
Hail her. I remember
from
you guys.
Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
I remember some guy telling me to do that once.
Yeah.
Mary J. Blige has signed on as the Wicked Witch of the West.
I like it.
And for Glinda the Good Witch, if you're going to cast an African American female star to bring eyes to your TV show, who do you cast as Glinda the Good Witch?
Kerry Washington?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Jennifer Hudson.
No.
We're naming popular, pretty African American women.
When I say you, I'm going to say you'll kill yourself. That's how wrong you are and how right I am.
Willow Smith.
Yes, Kevin. Yes. Kevin. All right, Willow
hold on.
Smith.
Who are we not?
When I say
you'll be Beyonce.
Like, yes,
Beyonce.
Yes.
Got to be Beyonce.
Right? Aren't you going to kill yourself now?
Yes. Yeah, Beyonce is a way better guess.
That's right. So it looks like it's shaping up to be quite the show, but still no Dorothy. I'm going to wait till they're really desperate. Then I'm going to go down and audition.
For Dorothy.
Yep.
All right.
When I think of home. I could do that. Hey, remember David Faustino?
From Married with Children?
Yes.
Yeah.
He says he's developing a spin-off series from Married with Children featuring his character, Bud Bundy. He and a coworker at Applebee's are putting it together. They're hoping to pitch it around town.
What's the rush?
Yeah. I'm just glad somebody finally has the courage to remake an old TV show, to bring back an old TV show that no one really cares about anymore. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Bud Bundy, the solo.
That's
the
a
solo group, the solo band, Bud Bundy.
Ralph, I feel like the whole rest of that family is off doing other work that.
Oh, it's not. It's not a reboot, Bean.
Just
you're misunderstanding me. It's not. He's going to bring Married with Children. It's a spin-off show, starring Dave Faustino as Bud Bundy on his own.
Right. I see. So no one else is involved from the original.
It's not like Ed O'Neill is going to be stopping by and knocking on the door. It's just
you
be
can't
Bud.
Wait to get off that Modern Family to go work with Bud again.
It's going to be the Adventures of Bud.
Okay.
Asshole.
It's going to be Air Bud.
Oh, that's harsh.
It's going to be Air Bud. It's about him catching footballs with his mouth.
That ain't right.
Rolling Stones are ridiculous.
In what way?
In the sense that they've been around for what? 78 years? They've been a band?
Pretty much. They started in around 1962, I want to say.
And people still care.
Yeah?
In a big, big way. The band's 14-show Zip Code tour they just finished raked in $110 million in ticket sales. 14 shows!
Wow. Is that because they can set their price so high?
Yeah.
Sure. I imagine?
But also,
and they're playing stadiums.
Norma Domes.
Yeah.
But that's nuts.
Yeah. You don't know the other thing about that band? They don't need that money.
They do not. Why do they work so hard? They're always on tour. And they could never spend the money that they have.
I mean, maybe it's all they care about still. I don't know.
If they live to be 100, like in the next 2 years, they could never spend all that money that they have.
Ralph, I know if you won the lottery and got $500 million or something like that, we still couldn't stop you from doing this radio show.
That's true.
That's true.
That is true.
I would show, even if you fired me, I'd show up every day.
I know you would.
I would phone, I would call up just to do the voice of the drunk bear who ate the vodka salmon sauce or something that happened in the news. I would just
because
I would just,
you love it so much.
I could never stop doing
it. We couldn't pry you out of this studio.
That's right. You couldn't. Checked my numbers just minutes ago for the Powerball.
Not right. To see if you had to do this report?
I did not have the winning number.
No, that's too bad.
I had the Powerball. Three. Powerball was three.
Okay.
I had that.
Is that enough to
it's good
retire?
I think it's good for a dollar.
Oh.
I think you get a dollar for that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, a lot of stars are born on today, July 30th. Paul Anka. You know who Paul Anka is, Kevin?
I recognize the name.
Old musician? All-time singer-songwriter. He was a big sort of those teen heartthrobs in the 50s and 60s, you know, the girls loved
him. Well, that's my era,
as
you know.
But you might know because he went on to be a successful songwriter. Like My Way for Frank Sinatra, he wrote that song.
Oh, no kidding.
The Tonight Show theme, Johnny Carson's Tonight Show theme, he wrote that.
Seven Sundays in May.
Seven Sundays in May.
Remember that
one? Of course, one of his big hits.
Look forward to watching Reveal tonight on MTV.
I corrected myself.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is 68 years old today. Lawrence Fishburne is 54. Lisa Kudrow's 52. Vivica A. Fox is 51. Terry Crews is 47. Fat. He should start working out. That fat bastard. He looks like hell for 47. Simon Baker, he's 46. Christopher Nolan is 45. Christine Taylor, also known as Mrs. Ben Stiller, is 44 years old. Hillary Schwank is 41. Jamie Presley's 38 years old today. Soccer player Hope Solo is 34. Yvonne Strahovski, 33 years old. And actress Gina Rodriguez celebrates her 31st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Barefoot.
What?
No, we're good. We're on. Hello?
Yes.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Are we having trouble hearing each other?
But we're good. We're all right, man.
Hey, Jim Rome on Showtime with new episodes airing every month. And, of course, the Jim Rome radio show 9 to noon on the Beast AM 980. By the way, Mr. Rome got a little bit of an honor this week. Jim, you never read any of your own press, so you don't even know this. But according to the Hollywood Reporter, you are one of the 10 most powerful voices in sports media. Did you know that?
Come on, no. Fact?
True. Congratulations. Yeah, absolutely. Rome has managed to make his high-octane CBS show, which airs live for 3 hours on 224 stations nationwide, by the way, with almost 3.5 million radio listeners a week, a rare national program that feels local. They go on to say a lot of very nice things about you, Jim, so congratulations for being powerful. I don't know why you're slumming with the Kevin and Bean Show every Thursday, but it's good to see you. How are you, my friend?
Okay, I am doing so well. That is so much better than hearing your show sucks and nobody cares what you have to say. And by
exactly.
The way, slumming with Kevin and Bean, this is the highlight of my week every single week. Hey, guys, where is Allie? Allie, how are you?
That is the best question
I'm ready.
Ever.
Go ahead.
I'm just checking in.
Allie has been inconsolable this week, as you can imagine, because she and all the other Patriots defenders believe that the world is coming at them. The world is against them, and they're right, and we're wrong.
It's a witch hunt. It's fine.
Right. She told us yesterday. Yeah, go ahead.
Give me your phone, Allie. Give me your phone. Oh, you destroyed it. Yeah. It's not there. You know, this whole thing about everybody's out to get us. It's a witch hunt. They hate us. They're only hating because we're so good. My response to that is, why would the NFL be out to get arguably its most successful franchise with the face of the entire NFL? Why is it good for them not to have that guy start the first four games of the year? So we could talk about the phone and how the league handled it, but the one thing it's not is a witch hunt. They're not coming for their most important franchise.
Let me follow up on that. Could they have cut this much shorter by just saying, Tom Brady just says, you know what, we tried to stay within the rules, maybe we faltered, sorry. Would it have all gone away or no?
Yes, it would have. That's my thing. This guy handled it all wrong. You know, the aw shucks, handsome Tommy, all this guy had to say was exactly what you said. Like, nearly every quarterback I know likes the football with a little less air. We're all looking for an edge. Maybe I got a little too aggressive or there was some sort of miscommunication, but I would never, ever cheat the game. I'm sorry it happened. It will never happen again. And then you turn the page and it's done. But that's not what the guy did. He was too arrogant. Deny. And now he's all in and he's fighting a battle he probably can't win. Isn't that so, Allie?
It is so. It is.
She's a broken woman
and
now.
And even more so now, I don't know if you saw, it just happened earlier this morning, no court in Minneapolis. They've
right.
moved it back to
they
New
said,
York.
No,
so
thanks.
Just even more screwed. Why is Minneapolis out to get us?
Allie, no? I thought that you'd be like in fight mode, not flight mode. It's like you've given in. You've given up. I expected you to honk hard for the Pats.
I'm heartbroken, Jim.
You sound like you're broken, period.
I'm broken.
How will
this
thing...
can't put her back together.
I mean, it's basically what's going to happen is the ruling is going to stand as it has come down and the Patriots will just be forced to accept that he won't play for four games. I mean, that's essentially what's going to end up happening, right, Jim?
No, well, they're going to keep fighting. They're going to keep fighting. What they should do is stand down. They should just turn the page. They got worked, all right? They got played. There's a lot blame to go around. I'm not saying that the NFL is all right about this, but in the end, Kraft and the Pats got played. And if they want to keep fighting, what's going to happen is they might get that injunction. Maybe he'll get to play, but he's going to end up serving that suspension at some point. They're not going to win in court. And better to me that he serves it at the start of the year than in the middle of the year or at the end of the year when the games are really important. Stand down, superstar.
I also feel like people would have had his back a little bit more if he said, look, we didn't try to do it on purpose, but, you know, we're sorry, whatever. It seems like, and then they got a suspension like that. People go, that's unfair. And then people would sort of be on his side and fight for him.
Yeah, people are always on that guy's side generally. People are always on the side of superstars and especially somebody who looks like that and plays like that. I mean, you know what guys have done and gotten away with and come back as conquering heroes? The guy did almost nothing at all. He had knowledge that some footballs were deflated. That's hardly a crime. All he had to do was say, wow, it kind of got away from me. I'm really sorry. I really want to win. Own it, apologize, and keep moving. Yes, he would have been forgiven. That's why I have no idea why this guy, other than just arrogance, went all in and fought so hard, because it's going to end really badly for him and for them.
I think you're right, Jim. All right, let's switch gears. Last week when we had you on, we were talking about how there was an NBA female coach now working in the Spurs organization who had won the Summer League. Now here we are just a few days later, and there's another woman working in professional sports as a coach with the Arizona Cardinals. Any difference with what you said last week about basketball players accepting the coach? How will football players react to a woman telling them what to do?
No, I would say it's the exact same thing. She's impressive. She's qualified. But that doesn't mean you're going to get a shot. And she gets it from Arizona. Look, the way it is in football or basketball or baseball or any other sport, guys want to play for coaches that will make them better, that give them a chance to win, that give them a chance to get paid. And as long as you're a coach that can do that, people will respect and like you. Maybe not like you, but they'll listen to you. And she's got a pretty good resume. I mean, she played football. She's played against guys. She played professionally. She's got a PhD. And there's no way that particular coach or that team would give her that shot unless they thought that she could get the respect of the players. So essentially, it's a different person in a different sport, but the same take.
We're talking to our friend Jim Rome, if you can hear him, 9 to noon on AM 980 The Beast. Earlier this morning when we came on the air, all we wanted to talk about was crying in baseball. Your thoughts on Wilmer Flores. Do we cut him a break because he thought he'd been traded and that's why he was sad? Or is he a pussy for crying during a game?
You did not just drop a P-bomb.
He did. Unfortunate. Wow. You had to hear that, wow. Jim. I'm sorry.
He did, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Is there anything that you can't say anymore? Wow, fellas. Clean it up. You know, that's not even a baseball thing. That's a work thing, all right? You cannot cry at work unless somebody calls you up and gives you some extremely unfortunate news, such as a loved one has lost their life or somebody's been given a diagnosis of terminal illness. I mean, something legit, something real. You can't cry at work. Baseball is work. Don't cry there. Don't cry at football. Don't cry at basketball. I mean, shoot. Chip doesn't even cry at work.
Well, and she's got a lot of reason to cry working with us. That's for sure.
No, don't cry at work. Man, what a terrible look.
All right, the trade deadline in Major League Baseball is tomorrow. Our time at 1 o'clock. There's a lot of scrambling going on today. Any good news for Dodgers or Angels fans?
You know, if you're a Dodger fan, you get a couple of pitchers in Matt Latos and Alex Wood, and I'm looking at this, and, you know, it makes them better. They need some depth in the rotation, but the question is that their big swing, or are they still going to take a run at David Price? If they're using these pieces that they just picked up in order to get Price, I like it a lot. If this is the move they made, and this is what they're going to battle with, yeah, I don't like it so much. They're better, but to me, they haven't won with that big 1-2 punch yet, and it would look a whole hell of a lot better if they went in with Kershaw, Greinke, and Price, then right. Kershaw, Greinke, and Latos. I mean, tell me that's not your move. If that's your move, I think it's not enough. If they're using that move to make another move, I like it a lot.
Now you know why he's one of the most influential voices in sports media, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Rome on Showtime. Look for new episodes of the TV show and Jim Rome on the radio starting at 9 o'clock this morning for 3 big hours on AM 980 The Beast. Have a great week, sir. We'll do it again next Thursday.
Actually, you won't. I'm not going to be here. But don't cry at work.
So I guess the question is, if you know somebody is cheating or being cheated upon, do you tell that person's partner? That's the question, right?
I don't think you cheat upon someone unless you're actually boning someone on top of them.
Cheating adjacent.
Really?
Yes.
Cheating on? Is that
cheating
a better
on,
way?
Cheating on. Cheating on.
Okay,
yeah.
So, all right.
I'm
so
cheating
do you...
upon them. I like to get my cuckold.
and get upon my partner.
So if you've got a friend
in the court of Versailles
and their significant other is cheating on them, should you let them know? That's the question. We're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. And how about if it's somebody you don't know at all? How about if it's a stranger? Should you get involved in that situation? Should you speak up if you know a stranger is being cheated on?
Maybe.
That's the story that's in the news right now. This was something that happened, at a Dodgers-Braves game in Atlanta earlier this week.
Yes.
And I think we have a scintillating report from Huffington Post.
These two girls went to a Braves game. They tweeted this series of photos. They say that they were sitting behind this couple, man and woman, and that woman, they looked over her shoulder and she was sending very inappropriate text messages to someone who was hidden in her phone under the name Nancy.
Right, but stop, it was really right there.
Scandalous!
Who is this guy to determine that they are inappropriate text messages, by the way?
Well, he read them. It's like, the message is like, I'll be naked laying on the ground, bone me. I guess he feels that sort of inappropriate.
How close?
Sitting next to your husband at the baseball game.
This story is weird to me because how closely can you see somebody's phone in the row in front of you?
Well, maybe not in the skybox, Kevin, where you and your ilk sit.
But
if you're
talking
about, if you're a regular baseball game, that the rows are right there. The seats are right in front of you.
You can see and read that it's under a certain name and what's
being
said.
Nosy.
Yeah, if you're looking over someone's shoulder and someone's just working their phone right up, right over the shoulder, of course you can see it.
All right, so the girls at the baseball game, they see that she is texting something they consider inappropriate while her husband is sitting next to her. She's texting with her boyfriend. So let's hear the rest of the report as they go on to then inform the husband of that information.
But it was really a guy. She was saying some very inappropriate things. We're not going to show you those things. They have full screen captures. Yeah. Then they wrote a note, which they have also tweeted a photo that says, your wife is cheating on you. If you don't believe us, we have the photos of her screen if she deletes these texts. And they gave it to the man who is sitting next to her, who they say is her husband.
Boom! Busted!
Busted! So you're sitting at a baseball game, and because there's nothing to watch on the field,
this is the best thing you can do at a baseball game.
You're
looking
around the crowd.
Right.
How dare you?
Whose business can I get into because I cannot bear another minute of this god-awful, boring game?
So not only can you read the screen, you can tell that she's sexting with somebody that's not her husband.
So you're so confused by the concept that you can read someone's screen over their shoulder.
So you take photos of their screen so that you can prove it later? What's going on here?
I'm assuming you take the photos of the screen because you can't wait to show your friends, look what this woman was writing at the baseball game last night while I was there.
Yeah, and they're live tweeting this, too, by
right.
the way.
They're having a good time with it. And then it dawns on them, let's tell the husband. I'm sure that was that grew out of the adventure they were having with this.
So it was all fun and games until they told the then they said we should tell
them. It was still fun and games for them. It was fun and games for the whole time for them, to the end. Who it wasn't fun and games for was the couple in front of them.
But let me ask you guys this. Even if you're these girls and you have this information, are you compelled to share it with a perfect stranger that person is involved in a cheating relationship?
Yes.
Absolutely. No. 100% not.
No.
Not. No. Nope. You don't have any desire whatsoever to get involved.
Nice.
Right?
Nice. Way to treat that guy, Kevin.
You don't know them?
Screw you, cuckold. Just be on your way. I'm glad to see that you're getting hosed over. That's fine. I'm enjoying your pain. I'm going to do nothing to help you. La-di-da, because I'm Kevin, and I like granola balls.
All right, so let me flip it around then, Ralph. So, God forbid, Mrs. Garvin is cheating on you. You don't have any problem with a perfect stranger coming up and giving you that information.
I need to know these things. Don't you need to know?
I absolutely would want to know, certainly. I would want to know.
That's why it's tough for me because I would absolutely want a friend of mine to tell me that type of thing.
Friend, enemy, whoever. You need to know,
but then I look at this situation, I'm like, mind your business, girls. But I'd want to know so I can't remedy that in my head.
You two-faced whore.
I think that might be it.
How did the girls in the row behind even know that's her husband?
They don't know the situation.
Kevin,
that's true.
Why are you doubting everything again? Why every time
I'm asking questions? How did they even know that?
In the course of the evening, as they're listening to the conversation between this man and woman, they ascertain that they're husband and wife.
You're going to have to just accept that's
a
thing that happened.
Let's accept the scenario, okay? Can we just... How can they read the screen? That's not possible. What about the glare of the lights of the game off the screen? Maybe they're a husband and wife. Maybe they're ex-husband and ex-wife. What kind of car do they drive anyway?
Kevin, we're going to make this a...
Let's accept the scenario.
Let's make this a yes-and situation. Okay, right. Can we do that, please? All right, so here's the other part of it, you guys. This is one of the reasons why we want to take calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you've ever been the person who has told somebody that cheating was going on, here's what's happened to these ladies. They're getting blasted on the internet, online, as being evil, bad people because they butted in when it wasn't any of their business. They're being made to feel like they did something wrong. Did they?
Yes.
Ralph said he wants to know, even if it's from a perfect stranger.
Why did they do something
wrong?
Not
your business. Stay out of other people's business.
Just aren't they doing that guy a favor by telling him his wife is a hoe bag?
At what point, Kevin, do you stay out of people's business? What level of pain do they have to inflict on each other before you step in? What if your neighbor's beating the wife?
That's ridiculous.
Or whatever?
That's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous.
It is.
Where do you draw the line? Where do you get involved and where don't you get involved?
You probably know your neighbor. And if it's physical, it's a whole different thing.
Let's say it's strangers. What does someone have to do to someone else before you step in and help that person out?
I think it would be hard. You guys won't even accept this answer, but I think it would be hard for them to know enough to make that decision because they don't know anything about the couple.
Well, if it's not a problem, then
keep it to yourself.
If it's not a problem, then no harm will come to that couple.
A lot of
people
raising
questions.
If it's
not really going on, if it's not an issue, then they will do what they want with that information.
People raising questions online, they don't know the relationship. Maybe they had an open relationship. Maybe
then
he beats
no harm,
the crap
no foul
out of her. Maybe he's going to get this information and murder her.
Oh, here we go again.
But
wow.
That's one of the
Keith
things
Morrison
being brought up online. Like, what if it was an abusive relationship and this was her out?
Let's not add stuff.
Yeah, let's not invent things. But if it's an abusive relationship, it's not going to not be abusive because they don't say anything.
True.
But I do like that Allie immediately goes to murder. I
no,
do like that about
that's one of the
that's
things that was being brought up online.
Every
you don't
time
know,
they left that
you don't know what
game,
this man is going to do.
Little did Janine know, it would be strikeout for her.
Thank you, Keith.
I'm Keith Morrison.
All right, so the topic is...
Listen, you, I'll tell you what the topic is.
All right, go ahead.
We want to talk to people who have broken this news to other people because I believe these women getting this fallout, it's probably even more fallout that you get if you tell someone you know, like a family member or a friend.
Yeah.
Because I bet invariably there are going to be some stories where you will get the blowback. You're trying to do the right thing, and people like Kevin come along and say, don't get involved in business, and then the next thing you know, you're the bad guy for doing the right thing.
Especially if they stay together.
Oh, if they get back together again, you're a douchebag. Then you're the bad reminder of the bad thing that happened. And nobody wants to deal with you anymore. That's what I want. Something but nothing but granola balls.
1-800-520-1067. You've been that guy who's broken the bad news to someone. How did it work out? Give us a call. We'll talk to you next time, Gabriel. All right. Here's the problem that I'm worried that we're going to run into. We're talking about whether you should tell somebody if you know that they are being cheated on. Mm-hmm. All right. One of our regular contributors, Queen Veronese, writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account. I told a friend her boyfriend was cheating on her. It ruined our friendship, and she ended up marrying the cheating cheater. That's a perfect example of what your fear was, Ralph, is the blowback comes on the person who brings the bad news.
That's the risk you run.
For being nosy.
For being honest. And helping your friends.
Taking calls at 1-800-520-1067. This discussion is top of mind because of a story out of the ballpark in Atlanta where some people were at a baseball game and they got evidence by looking at a woman's phone in front of them that she was cheating and they ended up telling her husband about it. And a lot of people are saying they should have kept their nose out of it, not gotten into it even if they thought they were doing
the baseball
favor.
Game? Maybe it was a football game. You sure it was baseball?
All right. By the way,
this woman should be busted for being so indiscreet, too, by the way. To be sexting with your boyfriend next to your husband in public at a baseball game? Yeah.
Bad form.
Slap her down.
Bad form.
That's not a good look.
Let's go to line 6. How about our friend Michelle in Lake Forest? She has lived through this nightmare.
Hey, Michelle.
Hi. So my best friend of 12 years was being cheated on by her husband. And my husband used to be his best friend, so he told me.
Right.
So, of course, I did the friend thing, and I told her. She had blinders on, didn't want to hear it. So after I tried telling her twice, I let it go and figured she would find out in her own time. She walked in on him cheating with the same girl. Ended up going back with him and cutting contact with me because I actually didn't try hard enough to tell her.
Wait, did she say to you you didn't try hard enough to tell me?
Yes.
And you told her twice.
Wow.
Yeah, I told her twice because she, I told her point blank that he's cheating on you. And then she came back to me a couple weeks later and said she had HPV. And I was like, "You're the, that's the only person you've been with for 7 years. That doesn't make any sense to get HPV now.
Yeah.
Remember what I told you 2 weeks ago? You maybe want to think about that again. Still didn't want to hear it.
Yeah. So, Michelle, let me ask you this. With the benefit of hindsight, do you wish you had never told your friend that she was being cheated on?
No, I would have told her again. I mean, she was my best friend for 12 years. They did end up getting divorced about 4 years later, I think.
Okay.
And she's friendly with me now, but the friendship is not the same. We're just not best friends anymore.
Look, well, because you're a homewrecker.
You can't control other people, but you can control whether you feel like you're doing the right thing or not. And you obviously felt like you were doing the right thing.
Yeah, in this case, definitely. If it was a stranger, maybe, I don't think I would have done it.
No, I wouldn't either. I'd just give him a granola bar.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Michelle. I appreciate it so much. Let's go to line 8, please. This is going to be in Whittier, and it's going to be Chris. He or she would like to add to the conversation. Hi, Chris.
Hold, please.
Hi, Chris.
You guys doing good this morning?
We are good. Sure. What do you got to say about this?
So, I work at a BDSM dungeon in Los Angeles.
Okay. All right.
Uh-oh. Right.
Indian good. It's a whole other topic.
Like so, yeah, I was working one night, and my best friend's wife shows up, and she's with another guy.
Oh, interesting.
Mm. Yeah, so I kind of mulled that over for a couple of weeks, and I don't know, best friend for over a decade. And I had to tell him. And it was really difficult because in that community, you know, anonymity is a very big thing.
Yeah.
But every time I saw him, I'm just like, damn. Damn.
So you told him. How did it go?
Well, yeah, I told him. I don't know if it went good or bad. They're separated. So it's like she's technically free to do whatever she wants. But at the same time, it was just... I don't know. It's your best friend, so it was really...
Oh, hold on. They were separated when she was doing this?
Yes.
Well, then you don't go and tell him then. Come on. That's bad form.
Chris, you knew they were separated before you told him.
Yes.
And she was doing this while separated.
Yeah, you're 100% the wrong thing.
Well, let them work things out their own way. Maybe that's part of her working things out.
Yeah.
Bad Chris.
You're a bad
Get
person.
Get in the cage. Give me a crop. I'm going to punish you. Bad Chris.
Aaron writes in, what the F, people? These girls at the baseball game are the worst type of people. They're the people who think they're so goddamn smart they assume they know any situation better than the people who are actually in the situation. They're the same as the idiots who honk from the back of traffic jams. Just stop it and fire beer mug. So he is very much against the girls speaking up and talking to them at the baseball
game. They're not honking in the back of the traffic jam. They're honking at the douchebag who's at the green light, who's still stopped at the green light. They're right behind that person.
All right, Kevin, we've got time for one more. Who do you like?
Let's go to David. Line 3, David in Upland. Hi there.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
We are good. Thank you.
Okay. So a few years ago, I was actually at the receiving end of this.
Girlfriend was cheating on you.
Yep, that's
okay.
What happened.
Right.
And her best friend had texted me and said, hey, I think you need to talk to her. Something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately she kind of jumped into it and said, listen, she's been cheating on you for at least a couple of months. And we were dating for like a little over a year. And I got the knowledge. And then immediately 5 minutes later, she said, oh, my God, I don't know what just happened, but everyone is sending me threat messages right now. Like, saying, like, how can you get in the relationship? You know, this isn't your business. It's between them. And I was quick to defend the friend, you know, like, well, hold on a second. She was looking out what was best for me. Obviously, this person, my girlfriend at the time, was a terrible person who was out to hurt me. You know, this is looking out for
the well-being. So you were thankful that her friend told you?
Oh, of course I was. I mean, wouldn't you want to know what was going on?
Yeah. Like, so you defended that friend to people who said she should have minded her own business.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. And why do you think – I know you're close to it, David, but why do you think she got so much heat from other people for sticking her nose in it if she was just trying to help you out?
I think the reason why is just because
Because the friend didn't really know who I really was. Like, we hung out every once in a while.
It was her best friend.
Yeah, it was her. It was.
That's
her best
why
friend.
She was getting the blowback. It was her best friend.
She
turned in her best friend. Yeah. Gotcha.
It was bros before hoes.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Or hoes before bros or whatever. Yeah.
No, it wasn't hoes before bros. The hoe wanted it to be hoes before bros, but it wasn't. It was bros before hoes.
So, David, you're now dating her, correct?
Oh, of course not. No way.
Allie, are you disappointed that no one ended up getting murdered in this scenario?
Well, let's wait.
Yeah.
That is.
106.7 K-Rock is Kero. Q, you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54. Related to the...
Nope.
Relating to the cheating topic that we just did on the air.
Yeah.
Telling somebody if they're being cheated on. Kevin came up with a very good question, I thought, as soon as we got off the phones. Yeah. And
why are you forcing me to tell bad jokes on the air?
It's not a bad joke. It's a very legitimate question about a specific scenario in when somebody's cheating and how you should handle that. And I think it would be worth presenting on the air, Kevin.
This can't go into the Take That Back file. Because I'm being forced.
There's nothing to take back. It's completely legitimate.
You're being forced to do this under duress? Okay.
What if you heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend? See?
You heard it from another?
You were fooling around.
She was messing around?
Yeah.
I said that off the air.
Good question.
Then he choked on his burrito.
And then I choked on my burrito.
It's a damn
That's
good question.
That is a damn good question.
It's just not at all. Didn't think about that. We were taking calls.
You take it on the run, I guess.
I guess that's all you can do.
What else are you going to do?
Well,
I don't usually get to play that game.
I can keep on loving you. I can do that.
And just roll with the changes? Is that what you do?
Exactly. Right. Well, listen, it's time for me to fly, so I'm going to let you get into the show business.
Murder!
MTV has renewed Scream, a second season of attractive young people being murdered. It's a perfect show for Allie. She loves that. What if they go on dates? What if it's a bunch of first dates?
First dates.
Hiking.
On a cruise.
Yeah. Series is about the search for a murderer who killed a popular girl named Nina, played by Bella Thorne, by the way. And MTV says the killer will be revealed in the season finale. So obviously there'll be another killing to be investigated in season two, but people love watching Bella Thorne die.
That's your takeaway.
I guess that's the moral of the story.
I got to tell you, so often you see a movie franchise being turned into a TV show and you go, well, that's not going to work. But this one did. People responded real well to it.
It's a pretty basic premise. I don't think it's that it was that complicated to transition from one to the other. Because the movie was a series, basically.
Yeah, you know that's right.
I
mean? Right.
Yeah. Speaking of new TV series, how about a Little Woman TV series? Of course, the classic Louisa May Alcott novel is going to be developed into a new gritty adaptation for the CW. Yeah, Meg, Beth, and Joe are doing crack.
What?
And Amy's a whore. I don't know how it's going to be gritty, but it's going to be a modern, updated, gritty adaptation of Little Women.
You said CW, so they're all going to be beautiful.
That's for sure.
So that's
the original novel was set in 1868. This one will be current time, I believe. So, good times. Look, that product has been around forever. There's been a ton of adaptations, and they've all done very well. I can see why they're going to that source material for yet another series about attractive young people on the CW.
Mm-hmm. It's like all those Jane Austen books that just keep getting made over and over and over again for movies and TV.
That's right. Tom Cruise, of course, has his latest Mission Impossible movie coming out this Friday, but he's already talking about yet another
excellent
Mission Impossible. He told Jon Stewart on Tuesday night that we're starting to work on it now. We'll probably start shooting it next summer. So it looks like a sixth Mission Impossible will be in the offing.
I want a good movie.
Well, maybe this will be it for you, Kevin. The Biebs says he has got some music coming out.
Yes.
Brand new single called What Do You Mean will be out August on the 28th. He says it's up-tempo. It's fun. It's summery. Nothing better than putting a summer music
just before September.
Just before Labor Day. And everyone's really in that summer mood. Well, good time to Biebs.
You know, we think about Bieber as being way over. He's got a song in the top 10 right now. That song he does with
Skrillex. And Skrillex. Yeah,
yeah, it's a huge hit, though, that he sings
on.
On
their back.
Yeah, maybe.
That's their song. See what happens when this comes out.
How do you think this will do?
I think it'll be auto-tuned.
Yeah.
And I think it will do poorly. My suggestion... My prediction, rather? Pain. No. Shin will be. It will not do well. This will be the beginning of the end, I predict, for Bieber's musical career.
That would be sweet.
If you want to hear me talk more things about Bieber, tomorrow night at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I doing Hollywood Babylon. Back in Hollywood yet again.
No.
After a successful tour of San Jose. We did one show there. But it was a good tour.
It was a successful tour?
Yes. Now we're back in Hollywood at the Improv on Melrose. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m., come join me and Kevin Smith. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets.
I wouldn't listen to it.
You're mean, lady. Rude. No wonder people want to murder you on first dates. Celebrity birthdays. Big list of people born on July 30th. That's today. Paul Anka is 74 years old today. Arnold Schwarzenegger, 68. Cake. Lawrence Fishburne is 54. Lisa Kudrow is 52. That's a pretty little 52 right there.
Bell for Lisa Kudrow?
Absolutely.
Oh, I'd bell her. I'd bell her hard. Yeah, I'd bell her.
That didn't sound hard.
I'd bell her with an inch of her life. Oh, right. I'd bell her. I'd bell her. Vivica A. Fox is 51. Terry Crews is 47. Simon Baker, The Mentalist.
We should get that guy in the air.
46.
Be cool.
Simon Baker?
Yeah.
Tried that.
Oh.
Yeah. Didn't go so well. Christopher Nolan's 45. Christine Taylor's 44. Hilary Swank is 41. Jamie Presley is 38. Hope Solo's 34.
Oh,
no bell for Hope Solo?
What's wrong with you?
Hope Solo?
Give her a bell.
I mean, she's belly.
I guess her mug shots are decent.
She's bellish. Yvonne Strahovski and Gina Rodriguez, 31 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Cabo Music Festival is a thing that is happening in September in Del Mar. It's also the destination for K-Rock Road Trip USA 2015, stop number 4. Thank you to Carla Martinez from Fontana for listening. You just won yourself some tickets, and you're qualified for the grand prize drawing we do Monday morning right here on K-Rock. That will also include limo service to and from and hotel for 3 nights, 3 days, and a 3-day VIP pass. Your chance to qualify coming up at noon today with Kat Corbett. Details at krock.com. It's 9:24.
Cut me farther than I've ever been.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Kevin and Bean Show, 9:38.
Well, you're such a hurry, man. Couldn't let that last chord happen. Couldn't let me have a little 21 Pilots.
I didn't know you were going to...
You know, run all over it.
Yeah. It's like Paul McCartney trying to say goodbye. Kevin sometimes is in a rush, man. He just doesn't have time for the details.
21 Palms with a new song.
I did say that once, yeah. How about our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning? Here's Ralph Garman.
Here I am. Scott Weiland.
Entertain us.
Scott Weiland has canceled every show on his upcoming European tour, except for one. The opening night of September 3rd in London will still happen. As for the rest of the concerts, well, his people say that too many administration and production issues to overcome.
Too many administration
and production issues to overcome. The fan experience would have been far below what Scott feels his loyal fans deserve. But apparently, F the London fans. That's what they're saying. They can get a crappy show, and that's okay. But the rest of Europe, no. We're not good enough for them. So you get the one show from Scott Weiland over there in the UK, if you're so inclined.
That's curious.
Madonna's got a new tour. She starts September the 9th in Montreal. Is that Montreal? Let's call them real quick.
Why would you do that?
I just want to call to make sure that we have the right. Why? I want to make sure we have the right city. It says here Montreal, but I'm not sure if it's Montreal or not. Let's call them.
Not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
Oh, it's Monty Hall. Kevin, Monty Hall was on the phone. I thought we were calling Montreal. We called the wrong number there. Kevin, hey Kev,
we did that, Allie. We actually made that call.
Yeah, we did that a long time ago, and I hated it then.
It's so
stupid. And Bean was so happy with it.
Oh, this is so great! It's going to be Monty Hall.
Really? Real quick, can we just call India really quickly?
Oh,
let's call India real quickly. Bean, just dial up India. Because I've been thinking though. I heard the.
You weren't thinking.
I was. I heard the song the other day.
Oh, the Alanis Morissette song? Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. All right. Just real quick, though, because we're right in the middle of showbiz here.
Okay, so.
It's a treat just for you, Allie.
Namaskar.
Hello, is this India?
Yes, it is.
Yes, we're just calling to say thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yay!
because Alanis Morissette had that song "Thank You, India" many years ago.
We used to be funny.
Stop laughing. It's not funny.
Remember when we used to be funny?
No, that wasn't funny ever.
Come on, it's a little bit funny.
Just call him to say thank you.
That was a very popular song, Kevin, called "Thank You, India."
I understand it. I was there. Morissette.
You don't get it. Madonna's upcoming tour, September 9th in Montreal. Wait a minute, is it Montreal?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. She says it's going to be shocking and daring. There's going to be one song.
Uh-oh.
That's going to feature pole dancing nuns. Oh, Madonna, you've done it again. We're all shocked and outraged by your craziness, your blatant sexuality, and your disregard for authority. Madonna, we're shocked.
What happened to Madonna's face?
Sit down, old woman. Get out of our way.
By the way, I have heard, Ralph, I don't know if you've seen the same information as I have. I have heard that this is the first tour that Madonna is actually having a little bit of trouble selling out right away.
Oh, really?
Like, as she has, because she's one of those heritage artists, you know, that like the Rolling Stones, that people will always go to see.
Right.
And for whatever reason, the shine seems to be a little bit off the Madonna ticket sales this summer. So I don't know if that's...
Well, wait till they hear about the pole dancing
nuns.
That's
right. Well, there you go.
Then the tickets are going to fly off the ticket shelves.
Wherever they keep them.
That's where they keep them.
They print them out and they're on shelves.
Once you print the tickets, where are you going to keep them? Where do you store them?
Well, I guess the shelf makes the most sense.
Thank you. Got to put it on the ticket shelf.
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
Hey, Monty, how are you? And rumor has it, Ben Affleck is... hot and heavy with the nanny to his three children with Jennifer Garner.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster,
said Jennifer. Christine Ozanian. She is very attractive. And I brought this story up earlier, and I said, what person in their right mind would hire an attractive nanny on either side of the marriage? If you're a woman, you certainly don't want a young, attractive woman bouncing around bralessly in your house.
What's going on?
Why would she be braless?
You know how they are. Those temptress nannies. You know those temptress nannies? They show up and just in their softball jerseys, all braless.
Huh.
In their short dolphin shorts.
Did you see a movie
or
recently?
Their culottes. Or they're wearing culottes.
You can see their culottes through their shorts?
Oh, jeez.
And then, so you don't want that if you're the wife, or if you're the dad, if you're the husband in the relationship, you don't want that
distraction,
that forbidden fruit constantly tempting you around the house with her softball shirt on. Without
look, I get it.
I'm just saying it's a bad move.
If two ladies show up and they're equally qualified.
Yes.
You hire the ugly one, I get
Hell
it.
Hell to the yeah.
But what if two ladies show up and the one who is hot happens to be way better qualified and will be a way better nanny to your kids? You have
well,
to.
Well, then kiss you your don't marriage
discriminate.
Goodbye.
You don't discriminate against her because she's pretty.
You just rough her up a little bit. Just ugly her up in the back. You just get some barbed wire and just rub it on her face just to rough her up a little bit.
It's happening right now.
I don't know. I'm just saying I'm going to start a business called Hollywood Ugly Nannies. And it'll just be for rich, famous people who don't want to have any problems in their relationship. So we just...
Good idea.
We get well, well taught, well trained, ugly women to raise your children for you. Or we find trained women and we disfigure them. I'm not sure quite how it's going to work yet.
No, the second one I don't think is a good plan.
It's going to work. Sometimes supply and demand, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it's a good plan.
You don't know. You don't know
what Kevin,
like.
What's your name? You're Ralph, right?
Yes.
I have trouble keeping you guys straight. You got to get on Shark Tank with this, man. You got to make this a proposal on Shark Tank. They would love it.
And Mark Cuban will buy me for $1.5
million. To be said.
Today's celebrity birthdays, all these stars born on July 30th. Paul Anka is 74 years old today. Arnold Schwarzenegger. See what happens?
Yeah.
Schwarzenegger's a...
Same.
It's a cautionary tale. Boom. Maids. Ugly maids, too. I forgot about that. All right. Maids and nannies. Ugly women. I'll just call it uglywomen.com. You just come, whatever you need. Whatever your needs are for women, I'll supply ugly ones for you. He's 68 years old today. Lawrence Fishburne is 54. Lisa Kudrow is 52. Vivica A. Fox is 51. Terry Crews turns 47. Simon Baker, the Mentalist, is 46. Christopher Nolan, very talented director, 45 years old today. Christine Taylor is 44. Hilary Swank is 41. Jamie Presley is 38. Hope Solo, 34 years old. Yvonne Strahovski is 33. And Gina Rodriguez, 31 years old today. None of those women would be able to work for me because they're all way too attractive. I'm Ralph Garman. I work sometimes, but usually I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her off. Tomorrow morning is Friday, so we have the movie beat. We also have Michael Showalter from Wet Hot American Summer, one of the creators, one of the co-stars, in studio tomorrow morning. And we have your friend Peyton Reed on the program tomorrow.
Man who directed Ant-Man.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.